I know that this week is Parshas Va'era, and we should really take something from Parshas Va'era to discuss. However, I think I'm not quite through with Shemois yet, and it's kedai to be ma'ayin in a sugya, which from my experience I haven't heard much about it during the years that I've been in yeshiva. It's a while now, but I never really heard a discussion of Tzipora, of this whole shidduch between Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzipora, and the what its function is within our Jewish history. It's a very, very big sugya as far as I can figure out, and very, very important to have some kind of sense of what was happening there. Particularly the story in last week's Pasha with the and so the Rebbeinu Shem Vayivakesh Lehamiso, he wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, and Tzipora saved the day by mulling apparently Gershom, the older son, who hadn't been mulled. Like, what has all that got to do? Like, why does that story, what is important about that story? Shmois is the Sefer HaMaisa, the Ramban tells us. It's the Sefer HaGeula, it's the story of the Golus and the Geula. So this story, what is its function? We've been mechunach by the Maharal that there's no such thing as mikra in the Torah. It's not just an interesting story. So the Rebbeinu Shem figured, okay, well, let's put this story in. Das kann doch nicht sein. So the what is that it must have played an enormous role in the Geula from Mitzrayim. And what exactly is that role? It's something very mysterious, I think. And it needs a Hesber. Now, I don't know whether the following is true. I have to say that I never heard this from anybody, but it sounds to me from the story that what would have been if Tzipora had not mulled Gershom? What would have been if she hadn't mulled him? So then, apparently, if Mitzat the story, Moshe Rabbeinu would have been killed. It seems to me that it's obvious that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been killed, so then there wouldn't have been any Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, you see from the whole story that the whole thing revolved about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, all right, is the pure tzura against Mitzrayim, which is the big chaimer. Whatever the inner logic of all these things is, but it's very, very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu was needed, and that's why the Rebbeinu Shon did not want to be mevata to Moshe Rabbeinu when he said Shlachno v'yatishlach. The Rebbeinu Shon kviyochol needed Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron was able to help, but it had to be Moshe Rabbeinu who took us out of Mitzrayim. So what would be if he would have been killed? What would have been if the Tzipora had not mulled the child and thereby saved her husband? Chasan domim, you were a husband threatened by death, so he would have died, and if he would have died, so it wouldn't have been a Gulas Mitzrayim. So really, if I'm saying the correct thing, again, I haven't seen this anywhere, but if this is right, and I think that the Pshuta Shel Mikro yields that, so if the Pshuta Shel Mikro yields that, then it sounds like that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have died, so then there wouldn't have been a Gula from Mitzrayim, and that would have been the end of the story. So if that is true, so then what it means is that Tzipora gave us the Geula of Mitzrayim, that she made it possible. I mean, she gave us the gift of her husband. She kept her husband Moshe Rabbeinu alive, and made everything else, every other development that came after that, she made it possible. It's a moralistic story. Now, what was going on over there? Now, I think that I never heard a shiur about this. So whatever I'm saying now, I saw here something, and I saw there something. Well, what do I know? But I'll tell you what seems to me to be going on over here, and it's either correct or if you feel that it's questionable, talk it over with somebody. Who was this who was this Tzipora? So that's very interesting in the Maral, in the Gevuras. That's Perek 19 in the Gevuras. So the Koyen Midyan Sheva Bonos, the Yesh Ledaktek, Loma Hutzrich Loma Minyan Habonos. What's so interesting that he had seven daughters. The Yire Loma Ki Hashvias Mekudeshes Min Hasha'or. That the Shvias is always the holy thing. That she had that sanctity about her, that she was able to be dovak in the Guf Kodesh, which was Moshe Rabbeinu. And apparently, in other words, the Maral is assuming that the Torah would not have told us that he had seven children if she would have not have been the seventh one. So if she was the seventh one, she was the Shabbos, she was the Shmita, she was the Kedusha of that family, and that Kedusha made her suitable to be married to the Guf Kodesh. Now, I just want to add to this, in an earlier shiur, I think a few years ago, a couple of years, maybe last year, I don't remember, we said the other Maral, where the Maral says that, like, why did Moshe Rabbeinu marry a Goyish girl? Like, why couldn't he find a Yiddish tachta to marry? So zog the Maral, because Chazal say that Isha Achas Hoysa B'Mitzrayim, who was moiled 600,000 children in one keres, that in one pregnancy she bore 600,000 children, which is obviously not literally true. So what is the truth behind that? It means Yocheved, because she had in her womb Moshe Rabbeinu, and Chazal say that he was Shokol Keneged Shishim Riba. He was Shokol Keneged Shishim Riba, and therefore it's Keilu she bore 600,000 people. So Zog the Maral, why didn't he marry a Jewish girl? Because he was Shokol Keneged Shishim Riba. Whatever there was in Klal Yisrael, he already had, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Shokol Keneged the whole of Klal Yisrael. So since a wife is supposed to be an Ezer connector, she's supposed to be an Ezer, so if he's supposed to be an Ezer, so she has to deliver something which he doesn't have. But every koyach which lay within Klal Yisrael, he already had. So Mimele, he needed somebody from outside Klal Yisrael, and that's why he married a Goyish girl. Now, obviously she became a Geyaris. Now, so which one was it? It had to be the girl who was able and roy to be dovak beguf kodesh. So that's the background of his marrying Tzipora. Now, the Maral goes on. Over Medrash, Tzipora shetiaro kol beis avia kedam da Tzipora. That this is in Shmois Rabba Aleph, that she was called Tzipora because shetiaro kol beis avia kedam da Tzipora. In the Tara of the Metzora, you have to take two tzipporim, and you take the blood of one of the tzipporim, and you sprinkle it, and so on. So, Pirush, Beis Avia, Hoyu Oivdim, Mitzchila, Avoida Zoro, Shinim Shlo Le Meis. Okay, so, Zifchem Meisim, Avoida Zoro is Meis. Shinema, Vayorchlu, Zifchem Meisim. Vahamit Zoro, Gamkein Kameis. Dirsiv, Al Nosehi Kameis. Vertzipoiro hoysel metaheres kol beis avio minu avoide zoro shenikre eis meis kemoishe tzipore metzoiro metaren es am metzoiro shenikro meis ulefichach nikre eis tzipoiro. Wow, that's unbelievable. So tzipoiro wasn't called Tzipora for nothing. She was called Tzipora because she had in herself the ability to rid her father's house from Avodah Zarah, because she is the representative of the Tzipor who is Metaya the Metzora, who is also like a maze, just like Avodah Zarah. So the Maral explains, V'yesh l'medrash zeh tam nifla, ki dam Tzipor roi dafke l'taya Metzora, shenikro maze. שלא ילטהרו סוי דווקא דם, שהדם הוא חיי הנפש, ובדובר שהוא חיים רואי לטהר עושה מן המיסו שהוא נחשב מס, ודווקא של ציפר, מפני שהציפר ביוסר מסייחס אל החיים בעבור קלוס תנועוסר שהוא חי לגמרי. Well, in other words, a ציפר, he is completely, or as completely as a physical being, can be separate from the chayma of the earth. The ציפר is not bound to the earth. The ציפר soars into the sky, which means that gravity, which any other object, it would pull down into the earth, the tzipper is not affected by that. So the tzipper has this quality of being very much separate from the pull of the earth, which is death, really. So that's why we people die, and so then they get buried in the earth. So you came from earth and you go back to earth. But the tzipper, Chazal say that the tzipporim were made from rakak, that's some kind of swamp, which is a combination of earth and water. Nishnagea, al kol ponim, the tzipper is as mufrad from the earth as you can be. He soars in the sky. And so it's the dam of the tzipper, the chiyus of the tzipper, who himself is a chunk of life, and blood ki adamu hanefesh, and the dam is life. So the Metzoyro, who is like a mace, has to go through the Taro, through a tzipper, Mr. Life, the dam of the tzipper, the object of life, and that is Metaya the Metzoyro. And Tzipporo had those koichos within herself, and therefore the Avodah Zorah, which is Zifre Mesim, she cleaned out of the house. So Tzipporo is a Meiradiga lady. You know, she's number seven, she's the Shabbos of the Sheva Bonus, the Shmita of the Sheva Bonus, who is completely, as much as a human being, can be separate from the attraction of the earth, the gravity which pulls everything downwards into the grave, Ke'ilu. And Tzipora was Mufka from that, as much as a human being can be Mufka. Oh, but now we have to put two and two together. That's the Magid Gezach. It seems that she, this koyach, which touches up, now I don't know whether you're allowed to say this at all, but I'm just think I'm saying it, I see it written here, so I don't know whether I assume that that it's right. This was a contribution that she was able to make to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nochamol, why did he have to marry a girl from outside Yidden? Because everything that Klal Yisrael famogged in itself, he already had. So he needed something from the outside. She can only be an ezer to him if she can supply something which Kaviyochel he did not have. So apparently this tzipper nature of being mufka as much as a human being can be mufka from the pull of the earth, that was tzipora. And that was her contribution to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now it seems to me that if you take this further, again, I'm only saying my own mashal, it may not be right, please judge it in your own ways. I think that's the story that's happening over here, because what is the significance of the story that he was bederach bamola in Moshe Rabbeinu, and the one should have tied us then. You shouldn't have been Isaac now in finding a place to live. You should have mulled right away. Now you're out of Yisrael's house. You're not anymore with Yisrael. You're not traveling, which would have been a sakona for the child. But now you're here, so you're by a molin, so you're going to stay here. So if you're going to stay here, so mull him right away. And Tzipora understood that and mulled him and saved Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Meaning, if what I've understood in the Maral up to this point is true, she has something over here, Kviyochel, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have. In other words, he did not have this musak, that if there's 1 second already available for bris, that is the moment that you have to mull the child. Never mind the mola, and you'll find that later. Right now, bris. That is the need of the moment. And Moshe Rabbeinu Kaviyochel did not understand that, and that is why the snake came to swallow him up, and Tzipora understood it. Now, I hear over here that this story is the lemaisa of the theory of the marriage to Tzipora. He married Tzipora because he needed the koyach, which was not included in the koyachos of Klal Yisrael, which means it was not included even in Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was shokel keneged the shishim ribay. He had in himself everything which a yid could have. But this koyach, apparently, he didn't have. Witnessed the fact that he didn't mull the child right away. So it was Tzipora who was mashlim that, and therefore it was Tzipora who makes Moshe Rabbeinu possible. That means the Moshe Rabbeinu of history, the one who took us out of Mitzrayim, and he was Moshe Rabbeinu, we owe him to Tzipora. In other words, this story is Megale, the pshat of how come it came that Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora. This story is masbir that Metzias. This story is masbir that this came about because that was the hashlama, that was the ezer that Moshe Rabbeinu needed. Now it's a really an unbelievable story over here, and how are we to understand that if he would not have had this ezer? That means if Tzipora had not lived up to her potential and had not mulled the child at that moment, so then apparently Moshe Rabbeinu would have been killed. If he would have been killed, there wouldn't have been Yetzias Mitzrayim, if I'm right in that. So that's unbelievable. So that is the story, and that is why this story belongs into Shemos. Shemos is the story of the Geula. Shemos is the story of the Shibud in Mitzrayim and the Geula of Mitzrayim, and this story is Megale, that the Geula from Mitzrayim becomes possible if you know that there must be not 1 second of possible mulling which you don't take advantage of. In other words, you must be a tzipper. You must be somebody who is nivro from the rekak. You must be somebody who is not bound to the earth, is not meshubed to the koichos of gravity. That is what is demanded of Klal Yisrael. See, and that is really the shiur that we gave last week, this idea that the result of the Tzias Mitzrayim is Vo'elich Eschem Koy Memiris. The difference between somebody who is crushed by the burden that he's bearing, Hasiroisi Misevel Shichma Kapov Midud Tavona, we talked about, right? He doesn't have to carry the sevel of avdus anymore. So now he can stand up straight, Vo'elich Eschem Koy Memiris. He's not anymore an ever to the cholent pot. Yeah, kapov midud ta'avona. He doesn't have to, like an ever, who the only thing that he has is what he can eat in the next meal. No, you're not any more subject to that gravity. You can stand up straight. That is what the Geula of Mitzrayim is going to bring about. And if that is the Geula from Mitzrayim, if the Geula from Mitzrayim brings that about, So you need this Pe'ula of Tzipora, that she saw what Kviyochel Moshe Rabbeinu did not see, and therefore fulfilled the purpose and the tachlis of that marriage. It makes me feel good in a way that you can touch it up like that, that this filled the purpose of the marriage, because the end of that marriage is so sad. In the end, he was pirish from her. And Shuvu lochem le'olechem, avato poya moide modi. Moshe Rabbeinu was of a caliber that he was not like a regular human being who needed to be married. And poor Tzipori, that was the Lashon Hara later on with Miriam and Aaron, that she heard the Rosh, the Chazal describe it, that all the Kal Yisrael made a whole bunch of candles. They lit candles to celebrate the Shivim Zakenim. All these were people, the greatest Gedolim of Kal Yisrael were coming together, and everybody was happy, and they made a huge Suda, a huge Simcha at the appointment of these Ziknei Yisrael. And Tzipora was standing there crying, and she's saying, "Oh, I'm sorry for their wives, because now their husbands are going to be pirates from them also." So there you have this last picture of Tzipora crying. Oh, it doesn't say she cried, but being sad. And that's such a sad story. That's such a sad story because she was so great, and we owe everything to her. Everything that we are, we owe. And that's such a meiridige Sache. You know, it could be, now again, I'm saying this misvora, I haven't seen it anywhere, you'll either accept it or not accept it, as the case may be. But what is happening over here is that you see that if this is a moshel to Jewish history, so we understand why the Rebbeinu Shloilem wants v'hoyu v'achris hayomim nochen yehabes Hashem v'roi sheyorim v'noharu elov kol hagoyim. You know, I never heard it in this way. What's the Rebbeinu Shloilem so interested in? Noharu elov kol hagoyim. Well, what do we need that the goyim should want to come? L'chu v'nale beis Hashem. Let's go to the beis Hashem, and they come. V'yoreinu mitrochav v'nelcho ba'achosav ki mitzion teitzis soiro d'var Hashem Yerushalayim. Let's come and learn Torah. The Rebbeinu Shloilem wants the goyim too. Why does he want them? I think because we have over here a rai that the goyim have something to contribute to us. That's a very good act. Take them away from the Yetzirah. Take them away. Bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. Let them learn to be machnia themselves to what Klal Yisrael has to teach. So then Klal Yisrael itself can gain from the Ummus HaOlam when they come. It's a big, big thing. If that's right, then that's very, very interesting. That's very, very interesting. So in a way, we have to be sad for Tzipora. She was sad, so we have to be sad with her. We have to be sad with her. Moshe Rabbeinu was Polish from her. But the word is like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu is Taka Yid, V'ato Poi Amoid Imodi, stay with me, I am your fulfillment. You're not at the level of a regular human being who needs his Hashlomah through a wife. We all know the Gemara that a person is only a chatzi person until he gets married and so on. So Baruch Hashem that the Rebbeinu Shem gave us our wives, it's a meiridike gift. It's mashlem the person. So apparently Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need that hashlama. The hashlama that a yid needs from his wife, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need. Moshe Rabbeinu needed the hashlama that Klal Yisrael can get from the Ummus HaOlam, but not from an ordinary guy, from a lady who was number 7 and who was a tzipper, whose whole metzias was a metzias of Chayim. Her whole metzias was a state of not being subject to gravity, and that she was able to contribute. As a Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, very, very interesting is the other side of that coin. Because of all the terrible things that could happen, we have the Chazal, that by the Pesel Micha in Shoftim, so this lady came and made him into a coin for the Pesel. Maybe not everybody knows the story of the Pesel Micha, but it's really an unbelievable story. So what happened over there? Just read a few psukim. This is in Yud Zion, in Shoftim, and that's a really an unbelievable story. here's the story. Vayhi ish meha Ephraim ushmoi micho yehu. His name was Micho. Vayomer le'imo elef umeyo hakesef asher lukach loch. Remember, somebody stole from you $1,100. Yeah, it was taken away from you. Va'at olis, and you cursed whoever had taken them. You subordinated him to a curse. V'gam omat ba'oznai, and you told me about that, so I know, and I don't want to be this guy who is going to be cursed by you. And therefore, hinei hakesef iti, ani lo kachtiv, I took it. The truth is, I stole it from you. I want to give it back to you. I don't want to be cursed. V'toyme imoi, Baruch b'ni l'Hashem. She said, "Oh, my child, I'm so proud of you. You came back and you admitted your guilt. You're unbelievable. You're not a ogre. The olis, the curse which I gave up is not going to apply to you because you're a baruch. You were big enough to come and give me back my money." So he gave back the money. Oh, tamachaya. Vatoyme imoy hikdash hikdashke es hakesef lashem miyodi livni lasos pesel umasecha. Listen to this. Vatra shivenoloch. He says, "This money I don't want for myself. You know what? I want it for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yud ke vov ke. Hikdashti es hakesef lashem. I was makdish this kesef only for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, my child, to give this gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can I best give this gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Lasos pesel masecha, go make an idol. V'atoah shiven eloch, I'll give you the money, and you go and make an idol, and that will be my gift to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'yoshev es hakesef le'ima, he gave her back the money. V'tikach ima mosaim kosev, I saw she was a shrewd business lady. She saw he wouldn't need the full 1,100, so she gave him only 200 kesef. Others say the 200 was the amount that he'd have to pay to the guy who makes the idol. V'titnehu le'tzorev, v'yaseyu pesel u'masecha, v'yehi beveis michoyo. So, pesel micho. Now this place where they lived, he and his mother, became a temple. And he appointed one of his children to be the kohen of this pesel. People made their own decisions. Now, vayhi na mi beis lechem Yehude, mi mishpachas Yehuda, vuhu Levi, vuhu Gershom. Sounds like Gershom. There was this guy, a na. So the Mephoshim say he was like a wild, he was a youngster, like he didn't have any kvias. He didn't have any kvias. He wandered here, he wandered there, he was looking here, he was looking there. Vayelecho ish mehoir mi beis lechem Yehuda, Logur ba'asher yimso. He didn't have any plan where he wanted to go, but he needed. He was antsy. I think they say today in America, antsy. Like he wanted to go here, wanted to go there. He was looking for a place. Vayomer ha'Ephraim at beis Micho la'asos dako. Vayomer lo Micho me'ayin tova. Vayomer lo Levi anochi mibeis lechem Yehuda, v'onochi hoylech logur ba'asher emtso. I haven't found myself yet. He's on his way to Tibet. Ich weiß, yeah, he says, "I don't know, I'm walking around, I'm trying to find a place." V'yomer lo micho shavo imode, v'heyei li le'av le'koyen, v'onochi eten lecho aseres kesef la'yomim. I need a koyen. My son is not doing such a good job. Like, I see that you're a good koyen, you're Taka Levi. So here I'll pay you a salary and you'll be my kohen for this pesel. Vayoel ha-Levi lo sheves es ha-ish, vayhi ha-na aloi ke-echad mi-bonav. Vayomale micho es yad ha-Levi, vayhi lo ha-na le-kohen, and he was in the base micho. Vayomer Micho, Ata Yodati, Ki Yetiv Hashem Li, Ki Hoyo Li HaLevi LeKoyin. The Rebbeinu Shem is going to be so happy. He's going to be so happy. It's Moirat Gezach. These such Elif Yidin, this mother and this Micho, they meant it so well and they were so wrong. The first thing that the Rebbeinu Shem said, Lo Sasaiti, Elohe Kesav, Elohe Zahav, Elohe Zahav. And they didn't understand. It's like this, the story of the Egel all over again. They believed in the Rebbeinu Shalom. They wanted the Rebbeinu Shalom. And they didn't understand that this was not going to be a nachas to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's really an unbelievable story. So then in Perek Yuches it goes on. So the Shevet Don came by and they decided, well, it's a whole big story, but we need the posuk that they came and passed by the house of Micho. So Vayalu Vayachnu B'kiros Yehorim B'Yehuda Alkein Korol Amok and so on and so forth. Vayavru Misham HaEfraim Vayavovat Beis Micho Vayanu and so on and so forth. They went, whole big story, and they saw what was going on there. Vayesuru Shomu Vayoel Beis Hana HaLevi Beis Micho Vayishalo L'Sholam. Okay, Vayalu Chameshes and so on and so forth. I just want to get to the pasuk which we need. We want to take this pesel with us, and we want you to be the kohen. Vayitav lev hakohen, vayikar es ha'efad v'satzerofim v'sapostel v'yovoy bekerav ha'am v'yifnu v'yelchu v'yusim v'satav v'samikna es ha'kvudu lifneim, and they went. Vayikol v'estan v'yosav and so on and so forth. The pasuk which I'm looking for is not over here in Shoftim, it's in Divrei Hayomim. I'm really, really sorry, I wasted a couple of minutes over here. And what does the pasuk say? I marked it. Okay, I lost it. So anyway, so the pasuk identifies this kohen as Ben Menashe, and the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, says that here. I couldn't find the pasuk in the Tanakh. I'll find it in the Gemara. Yes, the Gemara asks the kasha: V'chi Levi Shemoy, V'alo Yonason Shemoy, Shneimah V'yonosan. In Vayonosan ben Gershon, stuck in Shoftim. Vayonosan ben Gershon ben Menashe, who one of Hoyokoyanim the Shevet Adoni. Omer Levi Litamer, who he ben Menashe, who Valo ben Moshe, who the super name Moshe Gershon, Velyeza, and Mitosha also Maisa Menashe, Tiloe Hakosov ben Menashe. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's son Gershon, the Gemara says. And he calls him Ben Menashe because he did a Maisa Menashe. Now the emphasis is that there's no time to go into this. I don't want this shiur to be so long, but I just want to tell you, because it's a Moirat Gezach, that Menashe, the terrible, terrible Menashe, the son Nebuch of Chizkiyahu, father of Yoshiyahu, the terrible, terrible, terrible Rosha, to whom the Chub Nabayis is Nisyaches. It's such a sad and tragic story, the story of Menashe. But the truth is that he's a terrific moshel to what happened over here with the Pesel Micho. Remember, we saw that she wants to do a toivah to the Rebbeinu Shlom, and Micho says, "Oh, the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to be so pleased with me that I found that I." And I made him this pesel. See, that's mamish what happened by Menashe. So Moyo de Gezach, but we can't go into it now so much. But just very briefly, see, the Gemara makes a lot of comparisons between Menashe, who was a terrible Rosha, and Omoin, who came later after Yashio and also was a terrible Rosha, but was much worse than Menashe. And one of the things in which he was worse than Menashe was that Menashe put up a pesel in the Beis HaMikdash, but he put it in the Heichal. He didn't put it in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Omein put the pesel in the Kodesh Kadoshim. What's the difference? See, that's mamish the same fate as they did by Micha. It's a Meir de Gezach. What is going on? They put the pesel in the Kodesh Kadoshim by Omein. He wanted to drive the Rebbeinu Shalom out of the Beis HaMikdash. No, Rebbeinu Shalom, Ois Yantav. It's finished. Not interested in the Rebbeinu Shalom. Menashe wanted the Rebbeinu Shalom. He didn't put his pesel in the Kodesh Kadoshim. He didn't put his pesel in the Kodesh Kadoshim. He put his pesel in the Heifel. So he wanted to say, Rebbeinu Shalom, you're too big for me. You're too great for me. In the Kodesh Kadoshim, which is extraterritorial anyway from Olam Habo, there's no Middah, there's no Minyan. We've talked about what the Kodesh Kadoshim is. So there, that's where you belong. Yeah? You inspire me. You inspire me unbelievably. Aber Rebbeinu Shalom, my daily life, when I'm talking about in the Heichal, there's a Shulchan there which I rely on for my food, there's a Menorah there which I rely on for my learning. Interacting with you, I need a Pesach. To interact and to make something of myself, I'm just too small. I'm just too small to deal with you. In the Kodesh Kodoshim, you're Moiradek. But I need you in the Heichal. I need the Pesach in the Heichal. And everything went wrong because of that. And there's no time now to go into it. It's such a very, very important and rise the hearts, like how this Menashe became what he became, and in the end he did tshuva, but it wasn't a perfect tshuva. It's a very, very sad story. But what I want to say is that it's a Moira de Gezach. Who was this? This was Gershom, Tzipora's son. And Chazal say, it says over there, by when they came to the Midbar to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Ves Shnei Boneo. He took Tzipora, Ves Shnei Boneo. So the Zoya says, there's a quote over here, I see it in the Ishei HaTanach. He says, what does the Zoya say? Mipnei Shehi Chincho Oysom Bil Odov Koro Oysom HaToyro Boneo Veloi Bonav. The chinuch of the children was left to Tzipora. Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with what Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with. She was mechanech the children, so they became boneho. They became boneho. What happened? Do they blame Tzipora for the way Menashe turned out? I don't think there is a chazal. I haven't found it, that they should blame Tzipora for doing a bad job at the chinuch. But apparently, to be able to be the daughter of Yisrael, who was oived every single Avodah Zorah in the world, until he came to the Midbar and met the Rebbeinu Shalom and says, Ati Yodati Yodol Hashem Mikol Elohim. But the chinuch of that bias must have been a very, very, very difficult chinuch. Like the kids, how did they remember their father? Until they went to the Midbar, he was still an oived Avodah Zorah. She threw the Avodah Zorahs out of the house at some point. We don't know at which point it was. But he was experimenting, maybe this one, maybe this one. He didn't meniach a single Avodah Zorah in the world that he wasn't oived. So somehow, this idea of confusion, where are our loyalties supposed to be? Are they supposed to be with the Avodah Zorah, or are they supposed to be with the Rebbeinu Shalom? Yisrael's life portrayed both. When he was involved in the Avodah Zorah, his kol kulo was involved in that. We talked about the Maral once, that's why he was a roi dicker shver for Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was a neshama which was koilel everything. There wasn't anything in this world that he wanted to leave unserved, if that is what you're supposed to serve. Later on he found out, no, that's not what you're supposed to serve. You're supposed to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. So kanireh that Tzipora, with all this meshunetike godless which she achieved, that she was able Keilu, to supply to Moshe Rabbeinu what he hadn't had. But in the chinuch of the way she was mechanuch this Menashe, apparently, and it was the same kind of thing, he got confused. He was like Menashe. So Menashe also left the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Kodesh Kodoshim. So maybe someday we'll have a chance to take this out a little longer, because it's really a Moigodiger story. But in the meantime, we have a little bit of background information over here of what was going on behind the scenes, as history was getting ready for Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Lokachti Esrem Li Le'am of Klal Yisrael, and what was behind it, and the Nisyonos and the issues, and what a Yid is supposed to be. So it turns out that this story, which we started off the shiur today, not knowing what it really is there to teach us, like why does it come in? The answer is everything. You've got to be a tzipper. And that we needed tzipporah to teach us.